Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another D Word podcast. My guest is Mike O'Brien, a campaigner for unpaid carers' rights. If you look at the statistics, there are in excess of 5 million unpaid carers in the UK, a statistic that still seems to get very little attention.
Yeah, basically. I mean, for some it can be, you know, for some you're talking 100 hours plus, if they're caring sort of 24/7 and they've got like a child or an adult with complex needs, it's, you can be looking at 100 hours plus.
Yeah, and that's, you know, obviously that's a big thing on the carer and the person they care for. Because I guess you can feel really isolated.
Yeah. And especially during the pandemic, I mean, a lot of carers had they had services sort of pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, and then services were stopped. And now we're sort of like coming out of the pandemic. A lot of them services are still yet to sort of restart up. So, we're still basically carrying on their own and no sort of outside support or anything like that.
Sure. I had carers say to me that the effect of COVID and during the pandemic and having the lockdowns and all that stuff, the inability to go out, was actually, you know, people might actually realise now what my life pre-pandemic and post-pandemic is going to be like. You know, I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about your experience of, you know, caring for your elderly parents.
It can vary from day to day. You know, some days can be good, other days are not so good. And like I said, I mean, during the pandemic, it was hard. We were shielding, so we were basically sort of like, you know, stuck in the house staring at the same four walls for months on end, not knowing when the lockdowns were going to end. And then one lockdown would end and you'd get some freedom, and then, you know, another lockdown would kick in. And the thing is with ourselves and a lot of other people that were shielded, the first sort of lockdown ended and people started getting back to some sort of normality. But those that were shielding were still advised to sort of like stay at home and stay indoors. So basically, you know, it was like, you know, there was two halves to society, the half that could go out and get on with their lives, and you know, you got the other half of, you know, those that were on the shielding list that were still at home.
Yeah, and I guess got very little recognition of that as well, because, you know, the main thing was, we're getting back to normal, COVID is on the way out or whatever. But, you know, I didn't see too much in terms of recognition of those people that were still left to shield.
No, basically people that were shielded were pretty much, you know, sort of left to it and pretty much abandoned. They had the sort of the clap for the nurses and the fire brigade and the key workers and what have you, but there was sort of like nothing for carers and, you know, those that they were caring for, you know. I think government did sort of begin to recognise unpaid carers during the pandemic, but then, like, now that we're coming out of the pandemic, it's as if, you know, we don't exist anymore. We're sort of like falling off the political table.
Yeah, it is, you know, obviously it's very frustrating. And also, you know, I see lots of statistics about money and, you know, how much the NHS needs, et cetera, et cetera. I see statistics about what carers save the system, but I rarely see the two put together. So you've got the kind of the NHS budget and you've got how much carers save, but I don't, you know, I rarely see the two put together in some sort of format.
No, I've never seen the two together. It's always, you know, this is the NHS budget, and then in some other report you'll see this is what carers save NHS and social care a year. But like you say, well, they're never compared together. I mean, I think at last count, Carers UK did sort of like a working out of it, and I think. Sort of carers save the NHS and social care, and in turn the government, probably double what the NHS budget is.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's crazy, really, isn't it? Because it, you know, it kind of seems to me that the whole care system is held up by a bunch of unpaid volunteers. Because, you know, you remove that layer of carers and the whole thing's just going to fall down like a bag of dominoes.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. If unpaid carers suddenly just all... If, you know, they all turn around tomorrow and said, right, that's it, over to you, government, the NHS and social care system, it would collapse under its own weight because it just wouldn't be able to cope with the influx of new patients or... new clients.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's helping in so many ways because we hear about kind of bed blocking and people that can't be discharged because there's literally nowhere for them to go. You know, carers provide a real service in that respect as well as just keeping the wheels turning.
Yeah. It's also about not putting pressure on unpaid carers to have a person discharged before the care package is put in place, because it's not like I think the English government has sort of followed suit as with the Welsh government, and you know they've sort of said, well, you know, a patient can be discharged to home prior to the care package being put in place, but then they don't give a time scale to say, well, you know, but we'll put the care package in place within 14 days or whatever. You know, so basically unpaid carers could take somebody that's been discharged and be waiting months and months for the care package to be put in place. Or another thing they've also said is that if they can't be discharged to home and they're going to be discharged into a care home, they can basically be put in any care home. It doesn't matter whether it's their first choice or not. Mm. And I mean, we all know that some care homes are better than others. I mean, you know, you could end up in a really poor care home rather than the one that you wanted to be put into, because that one's got no spaces for you at the minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're in tune with the D Word podcast, and I'm chatting to campaigner Mike O'Brien. With over 5 million unpaid carers in the country, they certainly seem to be the forgotten army.
I honestly couldn't tell you why governments don't recognise us. I think basically all they're thinking about is the money that we save them every year. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, they come out on like Carers' Rights Day or Carers Week, which is in June, July every year. And you know, they come out and say, oh, you know, yes, we're grateful for unpaid carers. We understand the great pressures we're under. We're grateful for everything they did during the pandemic. And, you know, they come out with all these sort of warm words and platitudes. But then at the end of the day, there's never any real action. It's like, for example, I think it was towards the middle of last year, they had, there was a debate around carers allowance, only because one of the petitions about it had reached the threshold for it to be debated. And so, you know, it was debated, but that was it. You know, nothing came out of it. Carers allowance wasn't increased, I just don't understand why they won't recognise the contribution that unpaid carers make to society in general.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it kind of fools me. And you know, as you know, this show is based around dementia. You know, we had a dementia strategy in 2012, I think it was, that kind of David Cameron brought in. And to my mind, not a lot's changed, really, with the people that I speak to. You know, it's a kind of perennial problem of being a carer. And, you know, it just seems to go year in, year out, and nothing really seems to change.
Yeah, it's the same in Wales. I mean, the Welsh government produced a unpaid carer strategy. I can't remember now. I think it was last year. And they also brought out like an unpaid carer's charter, but nothing's changed. There's been no. We get the Welsh government saying, "Oh, we've put money into respite. We've put money into this. We've done that," but none of it's actually improving the life of a carer or the person that they care for. I mean, for example, it's like the respite that they keep going on about. That's fine if you can take the respite, but for people that have got a child or an adult with complex needs, for them to be able to take the respite, they need somebody that can come in and provide alternative care for that person. And I mean, as we know at the minute, social care is in crisis. It's broken, really. So actually getting somebody to come in is nigh on impossible at the moment.
Yeah, almost seems you want to get someone in government and actually shove them in a house with someone who's caring for someone with complex needs. To actually recognise what's going on here. You know, from a dementia point of view, we have laudable things like the dementia choir and, you know, those kind of things that hit the TV. But I've kind of yet to see something that really goes on to the inside of, you know, what the nuts and bolts of what it's like caring for someone with a really complex need.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what a lot of carers have said for a long time. You know, if you truly want to recognise and value unpaid carers, come and do an unpaid carers, fulfil their role for a week. I don't think most politicians would last the day, let alone a week. I think, you know, half a day they'd be packing their bags and going back home to their big houses and their expenses and what have you.
Yeah, and it's a double-sided coin, isn't it? It's the caring for the loved one or the person you're caring for. And often that leads to carers neglecting their own health because they're concentrating so much on the person they're caring for.
Yeah, definitely. And like I say, I mean, I know a lot of carers that have sort of put their own health on the back burner They might need to go in for, for example, there's one lady I know that needs surgery, but for her to be able to take the surgery, she needs somebody that can come in and look after her lad while she recovers, and that's just not happening. So basically, she has to put the surgery on the back burner and wait until, if there ever is an improvement in the social care crisis, which under the Conservative government, I don't think there ever will be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. I think kind of the one thing with caring for somebody is not only the kind of physical areas, but it's the psychological effect as well on, you know, probably both parties in terms mm-hmm. of the way relationships can change and different things happening. We often highlight that there's a kind of lack of social support for people living with dementia because everybody tends to go down the medical route, which is, you know, great, fine, let's find a cure, wonderful. But until then, I think it's the social aspects of things are really underestimated.
They seem to think that, like you say, let's find a cure for it and sort that out. But in the interim, people still need to socialise. They still need to be able to get out of the house, and there still needs to be them sort of peer groups where people like, you know, people with dementia, for example, can mix with other people and they can do activities and stuff like that. But no, there just doesn't seem to be much focus on that, you know. And then what there is relies on sort of local authority funding or government funding, and then 2 or 3 years down the line, the funding dries up, and there's the local authority or whatever will sometimes say, we can't fund it anymore, so it ends up having to close down because they can't find any alternative funding for it.
Yeah, and there seems to be, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. I'm talking to you, you know, through the advances in technology. But it appears that some of the major charities now are going down the kind of online support route, whereas surely if you're a carer, you know, you just want to chat to somebody.
It's like Carers UK. I mean, they do these sort of like me time things, where you might get somebody teaching you salsa dancing or somebody teaching you yoga moves or something like that, that might be good for some people, but like you said, there's that social aspect where you just want to be able to get out of the house, have a cup of coffee or, you know, cup of tea or whatever with somebody and just sit down and have a chat and know that you're not, you know, know that you're not on your own, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's very important. You know, I used to run groups where, you know, carers all got together, and it was, you know, it's the isolation thing. It's thinking you're the only person that's going through this, and to actually share experience with people who've gone through it and share stories is so important.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, sort of during the pandemic, I think sort of connecting with other carers on Twitter and through social media and things like Zoom and Teams and what have you, you know, it basically saved the sanity of a lot of people, because I think, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, I mean, if this had happened, I don't know, say this has happened in the early 80s or something, we'd have been totally isolated because we didn't have the technology that we have now. And so, you know, technology has been good in some ways, but in other ways it's also not so good because, you know, it takes away that social aspect of meeting with other people in the real world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm Peter Hill and you're in tune with the D Word podcast. I'm chatting to campaigner Mike O'Brien about unpaid carers. One thing I think isn't understood is that some carers still have to balance schoolwork and college with caring for their loved ones.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, there's, you know, there's carers of all ages, and there seems to be sort of like groups for for younger carers, and then you got groups for sort of older carers, and then put that sort of group in the middle, sort of 25 to 50, 60. It just seems, you know, it's as if that group doesn't exist, sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of younger carers out there. Like I say, I'm not sure of the stats around how many there are. I mean, we might get a better idea when the census information is released, because I think it's the 13th of this month. I think they're going to release sort of like the age, gender, and demographic area of carers, what have you. You know, there's going to be more details, and so you might have an idea then of how many younger carers there are. But again, I don't believe the census data. I think there's a lot of carers that haven't filled in the question about caring, because for it to drop, I don't believe that there's been a drop in the amount of carers. If anything, there's been an increase since the pandemic, because, you know, you've got people suffering with long COVID, or, you know, people that have been affected in other ways by COVID, because, I mean, we now know COVID can affect you in lots of different ways. So, you know, they're going to need people to care for them. So, you know, if anything, I'd say the figure's gone up by a significant amount rather than come down by, I think they claim it had come down by something like 600,000 people, which to me isn't right.
Yeah, I guess, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics, as was famously quoted. I mean, you know, if you were in a room with Rishi Sunak, what would you say to him?
More support for unpaid carers and the people they care for. Increase carers' allowance significantly, and change the eligibility rules around carers' allowance, because there's a lot of carers that sort of have an underlying entitlement to carers' allowance, but because of other eligibility rules that sort of come into play, they can't actually make a claim for it, because they've reached pension age, or the person that they care for, if they claim carers' allowance, the cared for person would have their benefits reduced. So, you know, if you're doing a full-time university course, you can be doing that and caring for, say, your mother or your grandmother or your grandfather or whoever. But because you're in full-time education, you can't claim carers allowance. So, you know, and again, it's like with the pension thing, you know, just because you've turned 65 or whatever pension age is now, it doesn't mean that you're no longer providing care for somebody. You still are, and you probably will be until that. You know, if it's like a child, you're probably going to be caring for that person until the day you die. There definitely needs to be some big changes around carers allowance, but I honestly don't think they will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was on the end of trying to fill a form in for carers allowance, and you know, good luck to anybody who gets through this 40 odd pages or whatever it was.
The forms
kind of crazy in itself. It's just such a frustrating world that, you know, if the points that you made, simply if someone took notice of those points, then the whole thing would start to change. But I guess the one thing you find really difficult to do as a carer is actually shout about it, because you've got your hands full with everything you're doing. And to actually take time out of that to then campaign for things to get better is kind of really, really difficult.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, at the minute we've got all these, you know, you've got the Enough is Enough campaign and protests in London and Cardiff and Manchester and wherever, and all these strikes and what have you. But then, you know, you look at unpaid carers and we can't go out on the streets and protest, or we can't take strike action. But it's like, again, it's as if our voices don't count. And I did actually try and connect with the Enough is Enough campaign and say, well, you know, can you sort of like consider unpaid carers in your campaign? And I just basically got blanked, nothing, no replies to my emails, my tweets, you know, they just blanked me.
Yeah, it's, you know, frustrating. I think it's probably to say the least in terms of those things, because, you know, it takes a lot, doesn't it, to, you know, just open up the avenues of dialogue with politicians, people in charge of social care, etc. Because I guess from their point of view, with a system that's failing, they've got so much on their plate, it's very difficult for them to then listen to, you know, another group campaigning.
Again, like you say, trying to get your voice heard by politicians, it can be a lot of the time you've got to sort of be able to persist with your efforts to try and get them to speak to you and hear your voice. But again, you know, it's finding the time to keep on at them and get them to eventually sit down and listen. But yeah, it's a never ending battle, really.
Yeah, you know, certainly. Well, sadly, time's bringing us to a close, Mike. It's been fascinating, and you know, thank you from all the unpaid carers for what you're doing to try and just raise the issue, and hopefully one day, you know, someone will put two and two together and take a bit of notice.
Hopefully, yeah. Just have to keep grinding them down, I think, until we do.
My thanks to Mike, and I wish him continued success in trying to get recognition for unpaid carers. That's all for this edition. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon on the D Word Podcast.